T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back into Sports Open Line from our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Chris Raby with you on Camo X as we hang out until 8 o'clock tonight. Lots of baseball talk coming up. In our next segment, going to visit with Scott Miller. We go into the Cardinals clubhouse, though, as well. Jack Flaherty is going to be with us in our 7 o'clock hour. And we now visit with Adam Wainwright. A chance to sit down with the leader of this Cardinals club. Wainwright and Yadier Molina have done this for so long. And after signing the incentive-laden contract after the 2018 season, when Wainwright battled back from injuries, you'll hear us talk about it in a moment. And, you know, at one point didn't know if he was going to pitch again, then threw at the time one of the most important games of the entire year, the Sunday night game against the Dodgers to avoid a sweep, keep the Cardinals in the playoff race. They, of course, didn't end up making the postseason in 2018, but Wainwright came back and was fantastic last year. Put together really an incredible year, a remarkable year at home, was one of the Cardinals' best players, regardless of position, in the postseason, and signed another deal to come back. He says it's because he wants to win, and he wants to do it again in St. Louis. And we sat down with Wainwright as he got set for another spring and another season wearing the birds on the bat.
You know what I like about spring training? It's my wife and I, it's probably our favorite time of year, minus the playoffs, is being down here. I get to still go and do what I love at the field, competing. But then I come home, get to pick him up from school most of the time, get to be home for dinner most of the time, almost all the time. This year we got some night games, though, don't we? But, you know, we're right there by the beach. The weather's great. We stay in an awesome place. You know, I'm competing. I'm having fun. You know, I got all my crew with me. It's really a great time.
Even a night game, you can leave in, like, the, what, fifth inning?
Mm-hmm.
Drive that van back down the road?
Yep.
McClellan and I were right behind you on the way to a game last year. Is that van starting to draw a little more attention around town? People know who's in there?
There's a few vans like it. Yeah, there's a few vans. The van actually is in the shop right now. The van, we took a pretty good hit last night in a wreck, but everybody's good. But we're going to get it fixed. It'll be all right. Yeah.
Does this spring feel different than last spring, Adam? And not just for you personally, but for the team. I know you guys, you were so close before last year, in it until the last couple of days of the season. But to actually get back, to get a taste of the postseason, for young guys to get a taste of what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel different, and does that change, not the goals per se, but does that change the way everyone thinks about what it means to get to October?
Well, the great thing was, you know, we had some older guys in the room that have been there and done that, but we had some young guys who had not. You know, they'd been here for 3 years, and we hadn't made the postseason at all in those years. We were close, but we didn't do it. And so getting to taste that, getting to beat the Braves, winning a postseason division series, that is an infectious feeling. When you feel that, you want to chase that, and you want to keep doing it. And we were so close. We were so close. We didn't play a good series against the Nats, obviously, but they were playing great baseball, super hot, playing to the best of their ability, and we went cold. But the feeling going into that series was we can do this. When we beat the Braves, it was like we can win this World Series. It was really good to see our team and the young guys especially really start to buy into, all right, this team is special. We can make some things happen here.
You told me in this room last year that you were however close to maybe shutting it down July of 2018, mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. things started to click. I'm sure you can't surprise yourself anymore, but looking back, the chain of events that led to you deciding to come back, that led to you having the year that you had last year, being part of one of the best staffs in baseball, which I knew you were confident about. How do you describe the last 18 months and what's led you back to this point and doing it again, and then who knows what's ahead?
Well, it's all about health, right? I mean, like in 2018, when things just weren't getting better, you know, I was only playing catch at that point just to try to get Dominic Leone back or Luke Gregerson back. I wasn't playing catch in my mind for me at all, honestly. You know, I was going to be done. You know, it was real for me because I had been trying for months to get it better, and it just wasn't getting better. And after a year and a half of doing the same thing over and over again, and then the results just turned not to creep upwards, just really go down quick. You know, at some point you've had a good run, and you need to turn it over to the next man. You know, I was almost to the spot where I was okay with that because I love competing. But when you're competing and every pitch feels like it's, you know, you've got broken glass in your arm, that you stop loving to compete so much. You know, you start regretting it almost. Like, I don't want to go out there and throw anymore. When you do that, you need to pass the baton. And right when I got to the point of really thinking it was over is when things started to go the other way. So it's all about health, because when I'm healthy, I love competing and I feel like I'm going to win. And when I was pitching the way I was trying to pitch in 2017 and 18, you know, that wasn't fun. That just hurt. That hurt real bad. It was miserable. So I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to make the team miserable watching me, or the fans miserable watching me. But when I'm able to go out and compete and have fun, I can be pretty good at this game.
How about not just the way you feel physically and what you know you can do, but I know part of what drives you to come back and to do this, to invest all of this, again, is the belief in the group that you have. So yeah. What is that belief, and how excited are you about the group that you guys have?
Well, that's a part I failed to mention, is that, you know, had I looked at our team and saw a rebuild that was 3-4 years away, then that wasn't interesting to me, you know. What is interesting to me is popping champagne and feeling that come down my beard, you know, with the playoff beard, and tasting that and burning eyes and seeing confetti. That's what I'm really interested in, and bringing another trophy back home to St. Louis.
A couple of things for you. You and Yadi have accomplished so much together. When you think about how hard it is to just get to the big leagues, stay in the big leagues, much less stay a part of one organization, how meaningful is it? You guys have accomplished so much on the field, but everything you've gotten to share off the field, your families off the field. Can you even put into words what Yadi and his family mean to the Wainwrights?
Well, this was a cool moment that happened just the other day, and Yadi doesn't even know about it, but his daughter came over to play at our house with my daughters, and they were swimming in the pool, and Jenny and I were just sitting at the table, just kind of making sure everybody's good, just looking and having conversation, and his daughter's name is Ariana, and Ariana left, and the girls were like, when can we have Ariana back over? And the next day we see Ariana, and Ariana says, I love when the Wainwrights are here. I was glad that the Wainwrights came back so that I could have my friends back. And that was special to me, because they go to a kind of a unique little school where there's not a whole lot of people there, and it's just, they really get a lot of good hang time. But it was special to me to know that even our families have grown to a point where, you know, the first thought of Ariana's was when I came back was, that means her friends come back. And so Yadi was one of the first texts I got after I signed my deal. You know, he was one of the first texts, and brother, I'm so glad you're back. And that those kinds of little things like that are special to me.
Sounds like she might have a future as an agent.
Yeah, that's right.
Get some of the negotiations done, huh? What's one thing, and don't, off the baseball field, what's one thing Yadi doesn't do well?
Well, I don't know if he does it well or not, but I'm not sure I've ever seen Yadi eat. We don't see him eat. He doesn't eat food. Occasionally we'll see him have a bottle of water in his hands, but somebody pointed it out a couple years ago. They were like, you ever seen Yadi eat? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And we've been to a bunch of dinners, but I can't remember ever seeing him put a bite of food into his mouth. You know, it's really weird. Clearly, years ago, he wasn't missing any meals. But now he's skinny, Yadi, and I just don't know if he eats anymore. Yadi, you need to eat more, man.
Most of us in the media don't have that issue.
Yeah, but
summer bodies are made in the winter.
Well, and I feel for the media sometimes, too, because I know, like, you're working, and you got to get whatever sent up to you, and it's usually what, hot dogs and hamburgers and park food, right? Probably.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. This is great. One of your new charitable endeavors could be
feeding the media.
You do so much, and so much on a global scale, Adam, and you've been able to, over the last couple of years, involve your teammates, especially through fantasy football, to find and, you know, really learn about causes that are important to them. Jack talked to us about the process of figuring out what is important for him, how he wants to give mm-hmm. back, how he can give back. To see young guys grow in terms of not just baseball players, but as men and as men who can use their platform to make a difference, how gratifying is that for you?
Yeah, and that's kind of the main focus with Big League Impact is helping people, but also helping players realize how they want to help people, or whatever charitable endeavor that is, right? Not wasting their platform to hear Jack say that, that's special because, you know, there's guys that are going to be given platforms that very few people in the world will ever get, you know, very few people. And that platform is able to make a difference, you know, and so I just, at Big League Impact, what we want to see is those guys realize that and go out and just do incredible things in our community while using that platform that they've been granted.
Now, I have heard from some unnamed sources that you maybe use your clout and throw some really terribly one-sided trade proposals out there. Just Yachty, too. Yachty's the guy who will try to trade, like, two defenses for something.
Yeah.
But I've heard
he'll also give you a kicker, too, though. Kickers are people, too, though.
You may, I don't want to call it intimidation, but you may target some of the young guys to throw some unfair proposals.
No, see, you're reading that wrong.
I'm not reading anything.
They're reading it wrong. Yeah, they're reading that wrong. I am trying to help them. Right? That is just like a Big League Impact. What I want them to do is realize their potential. And so if I can help them by giving them one or two of my players for one of their players, realize their potential and being great, then I would like to help out in that endeavor. You know what I mean? So I negotiate. And the thing about negotiations that some of these young folks don't understand is you don't throw your best offer out on the table right away. That's not what happens in a negotiation, right? I mean, Mo would laugh your head off if you did that. But they don't get that. They see instead of seeing a starting offer, they see, oh, well, that's a terrible offer. I can't do business with him. Where that's just ridiculous. The answer is, all right, well, here's my rebuttal to that, and is there a place where we can meet in the middle? But if they take my offer, then so be it. It's not my fault they took my starting offer. It's happened a couple times, you know. But they saw the potential in the trade that I sent them. I don't just send like my worst players like Yachty does. Yachty drafts two kickers and two defenses on purpose, I think, so he can try to trade his kicker and his defense. For some reason, nobody wants a kicker and a defense. You know, we got kickers and we got defenses.
I don't know how you ended up with Christian McCaffrey, but we'll let you.
At the end of the day, they're mad that I won again. It's not my fault. You know, it's a competing. It's just like going out and playing in baseball. You got to compete on every level. You got to compete at the waiver wire. You got to compete in trades. You got to compete.
You saw the Blues celebrate in St. Louis last summer. You've been a part of that. To see what the last year has been like in St. Louis for St. Louis sports. You guys turn it on, get to the NLCS after they have their parade. What was that like? What was it like to be in that city last summer and to once again be so close to mm-hmm. getting back to the World Series?
Well, I have a good friend in St. Louis, and when the Blues were going through, I had made a bet with him years ago about something else, and I said, hey, if that happens, then I will get you. He wanted tickets to the what do they call it, the Fall Classic, where they play the ice.
Oh, the Winter Classic.
The Winter Classic.
At Busch, yeah.
So what I thought he was saying was World Series tickets, which is Fall Classic, right?
Yep.
But he was talking about the hockey game that plays at Busch. So I didn't know that until after the fact. He won the bet, so I needed to get him tickets to the Winter Classic. Well, I missed it, and I didn't realize, you know, I just didn't know a lot about hockey at the time. I said, well, I'll just get it for you next year at the Winter Classic. And he goes, this doesn't work like that. It's not at Busch next year. It's going to be somewhere else. And so, shoot, all right. And I said, if the Blues ever make it to the Stanley Cup, I'll get you Blues tickets. And when that happened, he said, you don't understand. I'm born and raised here, grown up here. This is my Super Bowl, my World Series, my Stanley Cup, my Masters green jacket, all tied into one thing. The Blues are like, this is everything for me. So it was cool to see, because I'm from South Georgia, we don't have hockey on TV even. You know, we don't play hockey. We don't have ice. We don't have snow. It's hadn't snowed since 1989 in my hometown. So to be put into this situation and really learn, I mean, I knew hockey because of Sega Genesis 1992, you know, hockey game. You know, that was NHL 92. It was an unbelievable game. So I knew all the rules and, you know,
the icing, game and swingers all that. That they're playing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I knew about it, but to be kind of thrown into the middle of such an incredibly awesome fan culture that they have in St. Louis with baseball, but also hockey, and to see how important that was for people, and to see like people crying, you know, when they won, that was a big deal for so many people. They got, you know, they got Blues tattoos all over them, you know. I drove in the cab one time, the guy had Blues hanging from the rearview mirror, he had Blues mats, and he had Blues seat covers. And it was a big deal. So I say all that to say that it was really cool for me to be a part of that and to really start falling in love with the Blues 2 or 3 years ago, and to be able to experience that with Yachty going to the games and being up in the box and seeing, you know, they would always put the camera in there and the crowd would go nuts. That was feel good for us too. We love that kind of stuff. But I was so proud of Petrangelo and those guys. Alex is a good friend, so I was glad to see them get that done and bring that home for St. Louis, because that was a big deal.
One of the best guys that you can sit down and chat with. You can see more from this interview at KMOX.com. More from that interview will be coming up in coming weeks as well. And we'll also visit with Jack Flaherty just after 7 o'clock here on the show. It's Sports Open Line until 8 o'clock tonight. Chris Ramey in our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. We'll take a break, come back. Scott Miller, national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report, will be with us. He was at Astros camp last week when that debacle of a press conference happened. We'll get Scott's take on that and more. And then Jack Flaherty, Brad Thompson, all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson back in our KMOX studios. And we're back with Scott talking to baseball after this on KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line from the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back into Sports Open Line. Chris Ramey hanging out on a Thursday night, just a couple of days away from Grapefruit League action starting in Jupiter. We are in our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. So we talked baseball until 8 o'clock. A big thanks to Adam Wainwright for joining us. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, Jack Flaherty, Brad Thompson, and on a throwback Thursday, we'll go into the KMOX Audio Vault. So having a lot of fun until 8 o'clock tonight and having a lot of fun talking baseball. Always enjoy when our next guest joins us on the program. He is Scott Miller, of course, a big league columnist for Bleacher Report, Turner Sports. You can hear him on MLB Network Radio. Follow him on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL. Scott, how are you, man? What's going on?
You're good, Chris. Hey, I appreciate you referring to me as big league columnist. That reminds me, maybe it was just me that found this funny. Years ago, Baseball America, they'd have their cover story, but up top they'd have like three different things stripped across the top. And one issue I saw that it had major league coverage, and then underneath that, minor league columnists. And I know what they meant. It was that, hey, we cover the minor leagues like nobody does, and they do. It was great. But it just struck me funny, you know, major league coverage, minor league columnists. So thanks for that memory, saying I'm a major league columnist. I hadn't thought about that in years, but I always got a kick out of that Baseball America cover.
Yeah, hey, Mom, I made it. There you go. But you'll always be big league columnist for us. Man, so much to talk about, Scott, and I know you've been all over Florida, both coasts, up in Tampa now. You're with the Phillies. You were around the Jupiter West Palm area last week. Where do we begin? I guess, what percentage of your conversations, not even interviews or work you're doing, but just, you know, the same conversations we all have around these complexes with colleagues, players, staff members, fans, how much is the Astros stuff still dominating your day-to-day visits with folks?
Yeah, it's a high percentage. I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, fans are talking about this, but people within the industry, I mean, people, you know, I finally escaped the Astros. You know, last week I was over there in West Palm Beach in their camp for about 4 days. It's been refreshing to finally get out and see some other teams, but everywhere you go,
yeah,
the other teams are talking about it. The players, you know, executives, scouts. It seems like not more than 20 or 30 minutes go by before somebody else brings it up.
You know, and it's kind of interesting, I think, that not only are we hearing players be outspoken and give their opinion about what happened, about the punishment, and we so often want these guys who can be to a fault almost robotic in the way that they process questions, deal with the media. You know, I say it all the time in hockey. It's a joke. It's just, you know, shift to shift and get to the hard areas. Eh? It's the same thing. These guys are being incredibly candid, but it's pretty, yeah, I think, eye-opening that everyone feels strongly and no one is really, not that anyone should be, but there hasn't been any degree of sympathy is the wrong word, but you know, everyone kind of feels the same way.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, I've been doing this, Chris, I've been covering baseball for doggone. I hate to even admit it now. It's going on 30 years. And I mean, it's been a long time. And I've never seen anything close to this. Even during the steroid era, guys kind of minded their own business. They knew people were doing it, but nobody wanted to talk about it. Now, I mean, every day somebody else, a rival player, is teeing off on the Astros. I mean, they're lining up to do it. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think maybe today has been the first day where, you know, we haven't seen much. I mean, yesterday, Giancarlo Stanton ripped the Astros. The day before that, it was Aaron Judge and Nick Markakis. You know, the day before that, it was, you know, somebody else. I think maybe now that everybody's in camp, because it seemed like Chris Bryant would show up to camp in his first day there. Everybody wants to talk to him, and they'd ask him, well, what do you think about the Astros? They need to rip them. And then, you know, maybe a day later, it was Aaron Judge's first day. I think everybody now is in camp. So maybe everybody's had their say, and it's going to start to quiet down just a little bit. But, you know, I think it's just been remarkable to watch how people have just been lining up to get their licks in against the Astros.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, the optics of this almost get worse and worse. And your piece last week, I think it was actually a week ago today, saying that they even, you know, somehow made it worse. And even the optics of, like, doing the press conference outside and, you know, even little things that maybe 99.9% of people don't notice, but like not even having an Astros logo on, you know, the podium or the table where they were sitting, just like it keeps getting stranger and stranger. And you would have thought at this point, with everything that's at stake, Scott, someone would have kind of figured out how to intercept the awkwardness and start to pump the brakes on this thing, this runaway train.
No question. I mean, I said going back, Chris, to the winter in January, shortly after the punishment was announced, it was only another, I want to say it was within a week or so, the Astros had their fan fest, and Altuve and Bregman were there and quoted, and that's when neither one even apologized. And that, I think, was the first tremor across the country where people said, what? Really? You're acting like you're the victim here? And I was surprised even then that the Astros sent their players out, even in Houston, in a friendly environment where Astros fans were there. Even at that, I was surprised the club sent its own players out into public without, seemingly without coaching them or advising them somehow, because both they took the complete wrong note. And then, you know, then it was like a week later, Jim Crane came out because they were starting to get blowback over that. And they're still in Houston. And Jim Crane finally came out and said, well, when we get to spring training, our guys are going to apologize. So, okay, everybody kind of waited for that. And then came the big press conference last Thursday. And number one, I don't know. There's so much that went wrong with that. I heard that they called in a public relations crisis expert to help them. I don't know. I hope they didn't pay that person very much because, you or I could have given them better crisis management than that, number one. Number two, I don't know how. Jim Crane, there's no reason he needed to speak at that because we had already heard from him in the press conference on the day the punishment happened, you know, when he spoke and said he was going to fire his manager and general manager. Then we heard from him when Altuve and Bregman's first public forays were a disaster. And he said, when we get spring training, we're going to apologize. I mean, there's no need for him to be there, let alone nobody, you know, for him to just act as if, well, we can't even say for sure that the cheating affected the outcomes. I mean, that was so off base. And then to have Altuve and Bregman just read a statement at the podium without taking questions. Now, in their defense, and I'm not going to defend them much, right after that, all the players were available in the clubhouse. So I think the televised part of the press conference, when Altuve and Bregman didn't take questions, I think nationally a ton of people were watching, and they were offended by that, as they should have been. But because the Astros were going to make their players available in the clubhouse, I don't understand why they even held the press conference or had Altuve or Bregman there, because that was a horrible look when they didn't take questions and they were just reading a prepared statement. I mean, again, back to being robotic. I mean, there was no emotion. They didn't seem contrite then. Then when they, you know, so that was like the first part of the disaster on Thursday. And then when they took questions in the clubhouse, that went a little better than the press conference, but not that much better. I mean, you know, they were basically all the players were sticking to the same three or four talking points. So that immediately meant it didn't seem genuine. Carlos Correa was the only one that seemed even remotely like he was speaking from the heart. The rest of it seemed, you know, kind of phony and robotic.
Scott Miller is with us. Yeah, it's bizarre. And before we switch gears for a minute or two, I go back to some of the steroid guys and how quick sports fans are to want to forgive. You know, Scott, even in the face of some things that happen in sports and to some of our sport figures that is worse than cheating or stealing signs. And, you know, a guy like Andy Pettit just stood up there and said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then everyone was like, all right, that's cool. Like, we still like Andy Pettit. And everyone just went about their business. You know, like, he still did something wrong and it's apples and oranges, but you know, you stand up there, say you're sorry, everyone believes you, and you can continue in the game and continue in the game for a long time, and it kind of moves on to the next news cycle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and the king of that it's still one of the, to me, leaves me shaking my head how this guy came back. But it's Alex Rodriguez, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, here's a guy, he should have never been able to rehab his public image. You wouldn't have thought. I mean, you know, he was guilty of cheating with steroids multiple times, never would admit it, finally got slapped with that full season suspension, still would admit it, was going to sue baseball, was going to sue the players' union. He burned every single possible bridge, seemingly, that he could have burned. And here we are a few years later. It's like once he finally figured things out and got religion, so to speak, and did what you just said, Chris, you apologize. I mean, it seems like no matter what you do, the public is going to say, okay, you took your medicine, you apologize, we'll forgive you. Maybe one day the Astros will figure that out. Maybe one day this spring, maybe one day this season. But right now, it's gotten weirder and weirder. And then just when you think it couldn't get any worse, you know, then the commissioner, Rob Manfred, stepped in it. And all of a sudden, Jim Crane didn't look so bad.
Scott Miller is with us for a few more minutes talking baseball on KMOX. All right, so you were just around the Phillies. It's kind of funny. I'm sure they don't mind. A calendar year after Philadelphia made so many big moves, Bryce Harper ended up there. They were the focus of much of the offseason storyline. I guess last year you couldn't go anywhere, Scott, without people saying, where do you think Miller and Machado or Harper and Machado are going to end up? Now the Phillies, seemingly after a disappointing year, managerial change, flying under the radar a bit. Is that fair to say? Still an incredible amount of talent, second year for Bryce Harper, but I find them kind of intriguing in a division that's just loaded, 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 loaded.
Yeah, I mean, that East is going to be very interesting. I mean, I was at Mets camp, I think, the day before I was in Jupiter, perhaps. It was either the day before that I saw the Cardinals or the day after. And I mean, the Mets rotation, they've got like six or seven starters vying for five spots, you know, and it's not just DeGrom and Syndergaard, but it's Stroman and, I mean, even Rick Porcello, who has a Cy Young on his resume, and Michael Wacha. And, you know, I mean, pieces could fall together well there. You know, Atlanta has done really well the last couple years. And, yeah, I mean, in Clearwater today, you know, a ton of optimism. I mean, you know, you would think, you know, Bryce Harper, he's kind of on the Manny Machado program. Both of them had such chaotic off seasons a year ago that, you know, you would think, with everything calmed down, you know, maybe Harper will, in his second year, have a even, you know, better year. Last year was so-so. Some of his numbers, you know, were pretty good, but others, by his standards, weren't. I'm talking to him today, you know, the biggest thing disappointed him is he finished with less than 100 walks, and he said, there's no way I should ever have less than 100 walks. So, you know, that suggested that he, you know, he was kind of maybe a little too eager, not as patient last year. But you figure Harper comes back. Big thing with them is they had so many injuries last year. You know, Andrew McCutchen is back. He's, you know, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, but he should be ready shortly thereafter. And, you know, McCutchen, you know, they were hurt last year with his knee, you know, knee injury. Arrieta was hurt for a little while last year. You know, a couple of their relievers were. You know, but if they get a little bit of good luck with health, you know, JT Realmuto is probably the best, as good a catcher as there is in the game right now. And you know, you put him and Bryce Harper, and they added D.D. Gregorius from the Yankees, you know, who plays shortstop, and Gene Segura will bounce over to second. There's a lot to like about this team. You know, Aaron Nola needs a bounce back year, but they added Zach Wheeler to the rotation as well.
Yeah, a lot of talent. We won't get over to that side this year. We were there last year, and holy cow, you just, you know, look at what they have on paper and all of the guys that they can throw at you during the spring. Some of these games when you see, you know, 25, 30 guys, it's remarkable. So that division's going to be something to see, and I don't know, maybe the Nationals, the team that actually won the World Series, maybe they're flying under the radar as well because of everything. So maybe there are some, you know, sleeping giants in the NL East from a storyline standpoint.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're right. I mean, we talked about the Mets and the Phillies and you know, the Nationals, and by the way, they're already feeling like the forgotten team. It's like, you're right.
Could you imagine if Houston had beat them last year and then this all came out and then they were sharing that complex this spring?
Oh, that would be so bad. It would be, first of all, you're right. Just in West Palm Beach, it would be really awkward at that complex. Second of all, for baseball, I mean, thank God for baseball.
Yeah.
Those didn't win it a second time in 3 years last year. It would be even worse than it is right now.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, big league columnist, also MLB Network Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Scott Miller BBL. Safe travels, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again somewhere here in Florida, Scott, before you make your way back west. Appreciate the time as always, man.
All right. Always pleasure talking baseball with you, whether it's Redbird baseball or National baseball.
Scott Miller with us here on Sports Open Line. Yeah, that would be, to say the least, a little awkward if the Nationals had lost to the Astros and then were sharing a complex with the Astros this spring down in West Palm. That would be a little strange. That would be awkward family dinner, to say the least. Let's take a break here for the news. At the top of the hour, a big thanks to Scott and Adam Wainwright. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, Jack Flaherty will sit down with us. Plus, we'll visit with Brad Thompson, former Cardinal. He's down here doing some radio. He'll be on the Fox Sports Midwest television broadcasts as well. That's all coming your way on Sports Open Line on a Thursday night. Chris Raby with you. Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Sam Masterson helping us out as well. Mike Anderson back in our KMOX studios. And we're back after the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.